Matthew chapter number 1 this morning in God's Word. We're looking here in this beginning of the Christmas story, the beginning of the New Testament, and a wonderful story. How many of you ever remember being in Sunday school or in class or and someone asked, let's go around the room and read, everybody read a verse. How many of you ever remember being in a setting like that and you thought, oh, please, Lord, not me. And if my luck, I would be picked to read the first 15 verses of Matthew publicly. And if you look at it, you'll understand why, because it's full of names. And in the Jews' mind, the genealogy and the where folks came from was really important. As a matter of fact, it was the Jews' demeanor to be really proud of where they came from. You remember often in the New Testament, you'll see the Pharisees, we came from Moses. We came from Abraham, our father Abraham. And you can almost see them puff their chest out because they're proud. And God, under the inspiration, Matthew, under the inspiration of God, wrote the genealogy of Christ, and it's very interesting. And I want to share some things with you from it today as we consider this Christmas message on the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in verse number 1, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Perez and Zara of Tamar. And Perez begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Ahaz, and Ahaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Ammon, and Ammon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren, about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiud, and Abiud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor. And Azor begat Sadok, and Sadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Elihud, and Elihud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet Isaiah, by the prophet saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Look with me in verse 21. The Bible says, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Today's message is titled this, He shall save his people from their sins. He shall save his people from their sins. I don't know about you, but I've been working on Matthew chapter 1, and I've been working in different angles. We've talked about Joseph. We've talked about different things. We looked at Matthew chapter 1, and it's just a picture of how inexhaustible the Word of God is. But we come to this passage of Scripture, and I want you to think with me for just a minute. The angel of the Lord has appeared to Joseph. Poor Joseph, man, he's had a rough go of it. But God uses him, and God blesses him, and he obeys the Lord and trusts the Lord. And the angel of the Lord speaks to Joseph and says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Why? Why Jesus? Because the name means Jehovah is salvation. You'll call his name Jesus. And he says, "Because he shall save his people from their sins." And folks, I want you to know something. That is the Christmas message, that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Let's look at a few things this morning as we consider, number one in our message this morning, his person. Who is Jesus? Now, it's very important that we know who Jesus is. We don't want to present Jesus as merely a good man, and he was a good man. We don't want to present Jesus merely a good prophet, and he was a good prophet. We must present Jesus accurately and depict him the way God wants him to be depicted. We see his person. Who is Jesus? We can first of all consider this from this passage of Scripture, that Jesus is virgin born. Look what the Bible says in verse number 16. The Bible says, "Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." Notice the Bible didn't continue its begats and begats and begats and begats. It didn't continue the begats with Joseph begat Jesus, because Joseph did not begat Jesus. As a matter of fact, the Bible makes it very plain that Joseph had nothing to do with Jesus being born. A virgin shall conceive. And she did. And the Bible says very plainly, verse number 16, that Jacob begat Joseph, the father of Jesus. Is that what it says, verse number 16? No. Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. And there's multiple occasions in the Scripture where the Bible makes it very plain that Joseph was not Jesus' father. I'll tell you, we should and we can esteem Joseph to a proper place of glory. I mean, he was a blessed man. He was a God-chosen man, but he was not Jesus' father. He was the husband of Mary. Look again in verse number 18. The Bible wants you to be certain that you don't make the mistake that Jesus was a good man that was born out of wedlock. Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God. And in verse number 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary," who was his mother? Mary, "was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Listen, his person. Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God. If he was born of the flesh like you and I were, he would have been a sinner like the rest of us were, condemned by the same sin that condemned us, beginning with Adam, the first Adam. But he was not. He is the Christ. He is Jesus. He is Jesus, the virgin-born Son of God, his person. It doesn't stop there. All through this passage of Scripture, we meet Jesus in his proper perspective. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ." Who is Jesus? He is the Christ. Boy, that's a beautiful word, the Christ. Jesus Christ. There have been other Jesuses through the years, other folks named Jesus, and I talk about this occasionally when I think about the name of Jesus, but I remember the first time, when you're born and raised in Southwest Virginia, there are a number of things out there in this foreign world that you're not exposed to, and one of them is little children named Jesus. And I remember the first time I looked at a roster of names, and I was beginning to work with some Latin American children. I met a child named Jesus. It blew my mind. I said, I can't imagine someone naming their kid Jesus, but they had. And someone informed me that it's pronounced Jesus, and I get it. I get it. I'd heard that before, but I'd never seen it written down. And, you know, I don't mind to share my ignorance on occasion. But any rate, his name was Jesus. Jesus Christ. He was the Christ. Jesus, born of Mary, conceived by the Holy Ghost, is the only person that's ever lived that could possibly claim the title of Christ. There have been lots of Jesuses through the years, but there's only been one Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. He wants us to make sure that Jesus born in Bethlehem's manger, Jesus that we mentioned today, is exclusively the Christ. In verse number 16, what the Bible says, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Who? Christ. It's very important. We know he's Christ. Verse 17, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Lest there's any doubt, Jesus born in Bethlehem is the Christ. The Bible continues in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Who are we talking about today? We're talking about Jesus Christ, Messiah. The only person to ever be our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Jesus that fulfilled Isaiah 53 is the Christ. Jesus that fulfilled Isaiah 9 is the Christ. Jesus that filled all the Messianic Psalms is the Christ. The only one. There's only one Jesus. There's only ever been one Jesus. There only ever be one Jesus. There's only ever planned for one Jesus. And He came in God's perfect timing. In God's perfect setting. And we meet Him in Matthew chapter number 1. Jesus the Christ. We're talking about His person. Not only is He the Christ, but He's also Jesus. Now let's not just excuse the name Jesus, because it's wonderful. I'll tell you, I hear that song about Jesus, and I can't hardly help. I hold back the tears. I get emotional thinking about it. I remember as a child being taught the little chorus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Oh, how many times my heart has been overwhelmed and I've sang that song and I've been comforted to know that I have a Jesus and Jesus is my Savior. And certainly there is something about that name, Jesus. As a matter of fact, God thought it was so important that His name was specifically Jesus that He sent an angel to tell Joseph, Joseph, I've got an assignment for you. You're going to call His name Jesus. But it was not without purpose. The Bible says in verse number 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. What's the name Jesus mean? Savior. It came from Joshua, which means Jehovah's salvation. It's passed down and we have Jesus. He's the Savior. Folks, I want you to know something. Jesus, His person, He's the virgin-born Christ. He is Jesus, the Savior. And His name continues in this passage of Scripture. The Bible says, just in case we want to make sure everything is just really crystal clear as we introduce Jesus Christ, the Bible says in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Who else is He? He's Christ Jesus, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. I love that word, Emmanuel. God with us. Folks, don't be deceived into thinking somehow that Mary and Joseph had a baby who turned out to be a good man and a famous prophet and a miracle worker. Don't ever be fooled into thinking that that's the truth, because it's not. You see, He is not just some baby born in Bethlehem who made an impact on society and the whole world. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He's the God-man, Christ Jesus. That's our Savior. That's our anchor and our rock. We can have no church. We can have no faith. We can have no hope if He's not who He says He is and who God says He is. Christ Jesus, Emmanuel, the virgin-born Son of God. That's His person. That's His person. You can anchor your soul and rest secure in your future, because we have a Savior, Jesus. thou shalt call his name Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Number one, his person. Number two, his people. His people. Now, the Bible says there in this verse, he shall save his people from their sins. So the Bible gives us some instruction on who his people are. Now, you remember talking earlier about this genealogy and how the Jewish people really puffed their chest out with pride as they talked about their genealogies. And they went through where we came from and who we originated from. And so when you open up the book of Matthew, if you're a Jew reading the book of Matthew the very first time, and you began to read the story about Jesus, the first couple verses, the first two verses would be pretty impressive. As a matter of fact, it would look like this: the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Wow. Well, I tell you what, this guy Jesus, he's got some real good bloodlines, does he not? I mean, look at there. Right out of the gate, David and Abraham. But, oh, man, now we're talking about somebody really special. And we were. And we are. But I want you to see what God does. He continues really strong. Abraham, verse 2, begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Now, that's pretty good. Now, you know, Abraham had a few things. Isaac had a few things. Jacob had a few things. But, I mean, we're talking about the origination of God's people. Pretty good. I mean, this boy's coming from some real good bloodlines. He's one of us. And then the Bible changes gears, and it changes gears fast. Verse number 3. And Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar. Do what? Let me read that again. Are you sure that he mean to the same people we know? Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar. Whoa! And Perez begat Ezra. Whoa, hold on. Perez? Tamar? You sure you want that in your genealogy? Do you know the story? I'm going to tell you a little bit about Tamar. Tamar was one bad girl. One real bad girl. Back in the book of Genesis, I'll read this verse to you. Genesis chapter number 38 and verse number 24. I want you to see what God says about Tamar. And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth and let her be burnt. Tamar, she's a real winner, right? Do you know what happened? Let me tell you the story. Tamar is Judah's daughter-in-law. Tamar, wicked, wicked Tamar, deceives Judah. And Judah and Tamar come together. And the product of their whoredoms and their adultery and their wickedness is two children. You know what their names are? If you're curious what their names are, we can find them in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Verse number 3, Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar. What's the Bible give us? The Bible introduces us to Jesus. He says, yes, sir, he's the son of Abraham. He's the son of Isaac. He's the son of Jacob. But his people, we meet his people. And in his people, we meet Perez and Zerah, illegitimate children. And Tamar, a woman of whoredoms. Jesus came to save his people. You see Tamar, Perez, Zerah, Tamar. It doesn't stop there. The list continues, and we move to verse number 5. And no doubt we could spend lots of time on each of these names, but some that I'd jump off the page and I want to share with you. Verse number 5, the Bible says, Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Rahab. Rahab the what? That's right. Rahab the harlot. Right here in the lineage of Christ, the beginning of the New Testament, Rahab the harlot. Now, something interesting. Now, I don't know all that happened with Tamar. As far as I know, Tamar was, she was just a conniving, bitter, angry, wicked person. Then we meet Rahab, the harlot. Now, Rahab was an interesting, or certainly she was a harlot. The Bible says she was. But Rahab is a woman that began to trust and believe and harbored the spies for God and His glory. Rahab the harlot. But where do we find her? Right in the middle of the genealogy here that leads up to the birth of Christ. Rahab, that doesn't stop. Verse number 5, Rahab and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Ruth, how about Ruth? She's my favorite of these ruffians in this Matthew chapter number 1. I got an uh-oh back there. Ruth, oh, what a beautiful story. You know, Ruth was not a Jew. As a matter of fact, Ruth was the product of a disobedient Jew who moved with his wife Naomi to Moab faithlessly. Ruth was a Moabitess. She was not a Jew. She was not one of God's so-called people. Not one of Moses' children. Not one of Abraham's girls. But the Bible says, and referring to Jesus' people, he said, I got to mention Ruth. I got to mention Ruth because Ruth, though she's not Jewish born, she's one of Jesus' people. See, we can't forget this. He came to save His people. Who are His people? I'll tell you who His people are. The Tamars of the world. The Pharisees of the world who are illegitimate. Who are His people? His people are the Rahabs and the Ruths. They didn't come from around here. Ruth, put in our setting today, was never raised in church. Ruth, put in our setting today, her parents were people who didn't believe in God, who didn't act right, dress right, smell right, look right. But the Bible says that Ruth was Jesus' people. Ruth was His people. The list continues. In verse 6, the Bible says, Jesse begat David, the king, and David begat Solomon. Oh, great. Solomon. David, Solomon. Boy, Solomon, what a wise guy. What a wonderful guy. Unless you get forgetful, the Bible says, I want you to remind you that old, wise, famous, rich, wealthy King Solomon. You remember where he came from? David, the king, and David, the king, begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Do you remember that story? If you don't, I'll tell it to you quickly. David lusted in his heart over a woman named Bathsheba. Bathsheba was married to Uriah, the Hittite. While Uriah was out fighting for his country, and David at home being a low-down, good-for-nothing, dirty, rotten dog, he committed adultery with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. Uriah wouldn't fall for David's trick, and David had Uriah killed and in turn married Bathsheba. The first baby died, but she had another child, and the second child was Solomon. Folks, I want you to know something. Those are Jesus' people. Those are Jesus' people. We're not talking about perfect people. We're not talking about people who were born into some type of royalty. We're not talking about people who had always done the right thing. We're not talking about people who were specially chosen. We're talking about people who were dead in their trespasses and sins. People who were in desperate need of a Savior. People who are dirty, rotten sinners. But I want you to see who else is Jesus' people. The Bible says in verse number 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. Who are Jesus? Joseph. Joseph wasn't his daddy, but Joseph was his people. Now, let me tell you something about Joseph. Joseph is somebody that God put a lot of trust in. But let me tell you something about Joseph. As good as old Joseph was, as many right decisions as good old Joseph made, as many times as Joseph was put to the test and did what was right, even when Joseph was willing to obey God, you know what Joseph needed? Joseph needed a Savior. You know why? Because Joseph was a sinner. Who else is Jesus, people? Mary! We should never worship Mary, but God sure did like her. God sure did trust her. God certainly did choose her. But I want you to know something, who Jesus' people are married to. And you may be here today, and you may be like Tamar. And you've been low down, good for nothing, dirty, rotten dog. Let me tell you something, you're one of Jesus' people. And you may be like Rahab, and you've got a checkered past, but you've been trying your best. You're one of Jesus' people, and you need Him. You may be a Ruth, and you say, look, I wasn't raised in church. I wasn't taught this way, but God has changed my life. You're one of Jesus' people, and you may be one of you may be a Joseph. As far as you know, you've done about everything right the best you can, but I want you to know something. You need Jesus. You may recognize and identify with Mary. You probably shouldn't, but you might. But as Mary as you think you might be in your heart, you need Jesus, because Jesus came to save His people from their sins. His person, He's the virgin born, Christ Jesus, Emmanuel. His people, sinners. His purpose, finally, number three, His purpose. The Bible says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, Savior. For He shall save His people from their sins. His people came from all types of different backgrounds. But His people had one thing in common. Sin. Sinners. And the Bible says that Jesus came to save His people from their sins. Save. I like the word save. When I talk about when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ and put my trust in Jesus and Jesus Christ alone for my soul salvation, I generally say I got saved when I was just a child, June 3rd, 1990. I generally say I got saved. Sometimes when I'm talking to people I know understand the jargon of the Bible, I'll say, when did you get saved? Why do we say that? Because it's a very important time. There is salvation for people who put their trust in Jesus, and we get saved from the condemnation of sin, the judgment of death and hell, when we trust Christ Jesus by faith as our Savior. He came to save His people from their sins. Are you saved? If you don't know the answer to that question, oh, I beg of you to accept Christ as your Savior. You see, Jesus came for a number of reasons, and a lot of things are really great about Jesus, but He came for one primary purpose, and you can see it not just in this one verse, but through the whole Bible. Some people have this notion that we celebrate Christ in a manger, and He's there in Bethlehem's manger, and what a cute baby, and what a beautiful story, and angels singing, and shepherds and wise men, and wow, what a wonderful story. And it is. But as we consider His birth, and the Bible, in consideration of His birth, made sure that we knew His purpose, and His purpose in life was to save His people from their sins. We move from Bethlehem and we go begin to see His ministry and His life. He's a 12-year-old boy answering questions, speaking and with understanding that blew the Pharisees' minds and the scribes' minds. And so we look at Jesus, we're like, wow, He was really smart. And He was. He was omniscient God. Of course He was smart. There's never been anything like Him. But did He come just to be smart? No. Then we see Him about the age of 30 begin His earthly ministry, and He starts healing people. It's amazing. spit on the ground and puts some clay in a dude's eyes and tells him to go wash. He goes washes, and the guy's never seen before sees. Wow. He tells a lame man to take up his bed and walk. Wow. A multitude of hungry people. And he takes one little lad's lunch and blesses it and feeds a multitude, and there's leftovers. Wow. And sometimes we look at Jesus in the manger there. What a great story. Sometimes we look at Jesus at 12 and he's like, "How? What an intelligent guy." And then we look at him as in his misery. He's like, "Wow, what a benevolent spirit. I mean, he's helping people all the time." And he did. But do you know why Jesus did all those miracles? Not just because he had a benevolent heart. He did all those miracles because he was trying and attempting, and his plan was to prove to the Jewish mind that he was the Savior who could save them from their sins. The miracles weren't just miracles for the sake of miracles. The miracles had a purpose. The purpose was that he could do what he came to do, that they would believe that he was the Savior and the price for their sins. And I'll tell you something. I like the manger in Bethlehem and the story, and I think it's beautiful. And I like the intelligence, and I'm encouraged by the brilliance of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for the benevolent spirit and the attitude that we can have to be like Christ, to have a burden for the hurting. But I want you to know something. Don't get lost in any of these steps, because from the very beginning, God has made it plain why he came. He came because every person that is ever born is born in sins, dead and condemned and doomed to hell forever. He came because blood must be shed that we can have forgiveness of sin and peace with God. He came as the Lamb slain for the foundation of the world. He came in fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecy. He came as the Christ. He came to save his people from their sins. And me and you and every person that's ever lived are his people. And we all need his salvation. Oh, what a Savior. Have you ever been talking to somebody and they said something, but at the moment when they said it, you had no clue how profound what they said really was? How many of you ever been in a situation like that? You look back and think, wow, I didn't realize what they said was so profound. I'm certain that verse number 21 is just like that. The angel of the Lord looked at Joseph. You know what the angel of the Lord said to Joseph? Joseph? Joseph, listen. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. I wonder if Joseph reflected on that later. I'm sure he did. And you know what's exciting to me? We have the opportunity to reflect on it today. Oh, what a Savior. You see, the message of Christmas is just that. He shall save his people from their sins. Oh, what a Savior. You need him, I need him, we all need him. I'm thankful for Christmas, because Christmas gives me the opportunity to have life everlasting and peace with God because of the Christ child, Jesus Christ Emmanuel. Oh, what a Savior. He shall save his people from their sins.